The Around the NFL Podcast is working on its beach bod.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room. My God, there's so many heroes in here. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling,
Maron,
Connor Orr, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, all the boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Wes. A surprise appearance. We're very happy to have you in here. We didn't know you were going to be on the show until about, I don't know, an hour before taping or so. And that was a pleasant surprise, we must say.
Yeah, I had a few things to take care of this morning. I've got some appointments to go to, but I had a window there in the afternoon. Why not come in?
Your trip to Tybee, as we understand, was a rousing success.
It was glorious. The paramour came with me, her first trip to Tybee, and within a half an hour said, I can already feel the love. Everyone here is great. She's walked away with friends for life.
What did she think about her new nickname, the First Lady of Tybee Island?
I don't think they gave that one to her.
That's what they're calling her. That's what they're calling her.
I don't want to, cross a line here, but Wes is a very emotional time for you, a very serious time, and the paramour has just stepped up to the plate. Now you're going on, a trip to Tybee that went extremely well. This all seems to be trending towards a New Year's Eve engagement ring. Let's just be honest. Let's be honest. Let's put all our cards on the table. She's not going to be listening.
Why not throw that
She's
out?
She's definitely
in the middle of May. Why not throw that out into the public sphere?
I'm not one to usually stand on ceremony. I can't see myself as a New Year's Eve just because there's a holiday kind of engagement.
New Year's Eve, Cracker Jack box, engagement ring at the bottom of the box. Here, honey. That's Wes to me.
I would say things are in a very good spot right now, and she might have been looking at a few places on Tybee for events in the future.
Whoa! I think, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
In fact, I'm gonna go. Let's break it out because the ATN insider sniffed around this, and looks like he hit on something here. Let's be honest.
So you didn't have any sources on this. It was just your instincts taking it.
Sometimes journalistic instincts can carry the day. I like to triple source typically, but sometimes you just.
Oh, yeah, you triple source all
Everybody
the time.
Likes to triple source.
I sniff around and I started poking, and that's how some of the great, as we're seeing in Washington right now, some of the great journalism is about following a hunch.
You're like the Jim Gray of your time.
I mean, it's a big time for you, Wes, and your parents
and
nice
also,
but I was gonna say yeah this is really big for Dan because let's be honest, it's been drier than the Sahara out there for the ATN insider. He hasn't been coming up with many scoops lately.
Here's the thing, you don't have to always be scooping. I call ABS always be scooping, but you need to hit on one every 6 months or so just to keep everyone sharp. Keep yourself sharp.
I'm not gonna say this was your Watergate, but you're creeping closer.
Wes, we're so happy that you're here, and Connor again with us as well. Connor, uncomfortably close to me, but at the same time.
Is he looking at your computer?
Yeah, no, he doesn't because he respects my personal space. but you, no odor. You're clean. You're showered, obviously, and I hope it's the same way going back the other.
You're surprised by that. That's
a nice situation.
That's troubling.
I gotta say, I'm jealous of Connor's beard, which is not only full but not a gray hair in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's entirely true. I might have gotten rid of a few of them this morning. Wow.
It's also very well kept. I was surprised when I saw Connor because he's tightened the hair up top a little bit, and then a well manicured beard has come in, and I think it probably bumped you up easily, at least one numeric spot. Maybe one and a half.
What, on the hotness ranking?
Yeah.
Which is incredible to me because it's all preventative maintenance for, like, balding and weight gain, But, hey, I'll
take a compliment.
I'll take the moderate bump while I can get it.
Also push up a point or two on the real man ranking.
That's true. That's true. All right, today's show, so much to talk about today. It is, it's the middle of May and not a lot to talk about. And what's going to happen, though, is there's going to be storylines that are going to be run into the ground. All throughout the spring, into the summer, perhaps even toward, the fall, right up to week one. So what we're going to do, we're going to nominate one storyline, player, team, I don't care, nominate something you just want to wish into the cornfields, if you will, and it will never be brought up from now until, you know, training camp, week one, whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That part's that's nice.
Yeah. It just disappears.
The rest of the group. Well, the rest of the group.
It's what you wish you could do.
Oh, I thought.
I thought
we were committing to not discussing that topic.
We would
that
love
would be,
to.
That'd
right.
Be beautiful.
But we can't, you know, say like, Juju Smith-Schuster, you're gone for the next 2 months. Then what if he's big time in the news? You can't just ignore.
Well, we commit to it. And we discuss him.
Can't ignore Juju.
We are not. Juju will be on the radar if he is in the news. But yeah, each of us will go around the horn and send one storyline just into the ether, which will be fun. We will, you know, Connor's here. Connor's last full day here in L.A. There's rumors about a trip to a local watering hole after this podcast. But before any of that happens, we have to play one of the most important games, or one of the most important segments, I should say, on this podcast. It's Or Are You Kidding Me? We tried to get Kakongo in studio with his axe. Couldn't make it happen, but, you know, we got the soundboard still.
Try to be nice and full. Yeah. Full Or Are You Kidding Me?
But before that, let's do some news. And to do that, we say hello. Yes, there might be a First Lady of Tybee Island, but we know that there's a First Lady of the Around the NFL podcast. She is new money.
Hey, guys. I really do like that First Lady business.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
It's such a title of respect. I think that's why it feels good.
Right. You're like, you're married to the game. You're married to the podcast.
I think
that's
along with New Money's blooming materialism, you're now saying that you have political ambitions.
I was saying this before the show. The Mark Sidney heat is surprising and delightful.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think it is. Really, every producer gets on Mark's sonar every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we go back as far as TD. I mean, that was almost a blood war. But the fact that Sidney could also arouse Mark's anger, that is...
Well, the onus is on her. I don't view myself as having any responsibility in this.
Okay, let's do some news.
Connor Orr joins the crew and raises the intelligence level.
And then he predicted the Browns to go to the playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was cornered. All the Connor Orr you can handle right there.
Hell yeah.
LeGarrette Blount has a job. Good for him. He escapes the Patriots' clutches with a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Rap Sheet reports that the deal is worth a max of $2.8 million. This is the same LeGarry Blount that led the NFL with 18 touchdowns last year. He's 30 years old. He gives the Eagles, Greg, something they needed. So not only is it a relief, I'm sure, for him that he's off the market at a nice little rate for a one-year deal, but also he's going to a place where he looks like he's going to have a defined role.
Yeah, I think it's a big role and a big need for them. We just talked about on Monday that this team had moves to make, whether it was going to be a trade or now we see a veteran pickup, because they had three guys in Wendell Smallwood and Sproles and Pumphrey that are kind of third down, smaller type of backs, and now you add LeGarrette Blount to the mix and you say goodbye to Ryan Matthews. It's kind of been an unsaid thing this offseason that Ryan Matthews, I believe, will be cut when he's healthy enough to pass a physical, but he apparently had no future with this.
It sounds like Howie Roseman obviously listens to this show, or at least listened to Monday's show, because it's exactly what Greg mentioned about Philadelphia's gaping hole, where they were on the roster. But we've seen this before. LeGarrette Blount goes to a random team in Pennsylvania, flames out by midseason and gets back on New England by January to rush for four touchdowns in the AFC Championship. Probably will happen again.
It's a bad job by the Giants, I think. I feel like he would have been a good fit there, too. So not only do you not get Blount, maybe they didn't like him, so it doesn't seem like a loss to them. But he goes to a division rival, and I could totally see Blount having a three-touchdown game at the Meadowlands in November. Totally see it.
Does anyone else not think LeGarrette Blount is an upgrade on Ryan Matthews?
Well, look, Ryan Matthews, I don't think I don't think they trust his ability to play football anymore after this neck injury. He's 30 years old. But I agree. It's not a huge – I don't think it's a huge difference if you had a healthy Ryan Matthews.
When he's been healthy, he's had some great tape over the last couple seasons. But it seems like all their beat writers are saying he's out the door.
It's almost like people are discounting LeGarrette Blount a little too much for being on the Patriots. I know he's not even a factor on passing downs at all. But he was a very valuable player to two championship teams. Like, well, he was a key. He was a key to their team.
No Jeff Demps, but yes.
I mean, you can overemphasize the 18 touchdowns last year, but prior to that, for the five seasons before that, he averaged about 600 yards and six touchdowns a season. He's a role player, and you use him when you have a lead and to kill a clock in short yardage, and that's what he'll do in Philadelphia.
He's also always kind of struck me as the type of running back that gets hot, which probably doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely.
But he'll, like, go through phases where all of a sudden he looks like the Jerome Bettis in his prime, and he could carry to wins. He carried the Patriots to playoff wins in the past. I think it's a nice pickup.
Nobody kills soft defenses like LeGarrette Blount. Come on. He owns the Colts.
Here's the good news. There are a lot of soft defenses in the NFL. Let's move on. Derek Carr. God, we love Derek Carr. What a player. What a talent. What a humanitarian.
A lot of potential there.
I mean, a great wiffle ball pitcher, too, as you pointed out on an end-around.
On the end-around, writing, doing important work over there. He throws an incredible cutter that would make Mariano Rivera green with envy. Anyway, Connor's shaking his head, seeing how the sausage is made, and he doesn't like the taste.
That's just stupid. Tell the truth, man.
Derek Carr wants to get a long-term contract done with the Raiders before training camp. That has been his stated desire. But there has been no significant communication between his agent and the Raiders within the last several weeks, according to two sources familiar with the situation. This is coming from Mike Silver. And Carr is heading into the final year of his rookie deal, making a little less than $1 million. Connor Orr, a former beat man, has covered contract impasses in the past. Read through the tea leaves on this one.
I'm not trying to guess who anyone's sources are here or anything like that, but I hate how dumb this is, like, when stuff like this happens, just because if you don't hear from the team for 2 weeks, all of a sudden, you know, someone's going to be like, well, we're upset that we don't have this done. It was supposed to be done yesterday. I mean, it's going to get done before the season. They're not going to let a top 10 quarterback get unhappy and slide away while the franchise is moving to Las Vegas. Just wait and, you know, it'll happen. Why do we have to have this, like, this little tit-for-tat war for no reason?
Like, newsflash, I'm frustrated with the rate of my incoming raise, and my agent is upset, except I don't have an agent or a company that wants to give me a raise.
Join the club, Derek Carr. Not everybody gets paid when they want to.
Right. Although, you – listen, and I speak for everyone in the room, Derek Carr, irreplaceable as a high-octane franchise quarterback. I know the Raiders are not going to mess this up. I'm not – if I'm a Raider fan, this doesn't even make me nervous.
Mark Sessler also –
yeah, what was the second part of that statement there?
Well
– you know, a random area, you know, white
yeah.
who occasionally writes football articles, easily replaceable.
That's, low octane.
It's a hard truth that we all have to swallow. But this will get done. Connor's right. It's dumb.
Just relax.
But he's due the amount of money they paid him last year and whatever he's scheduled to make this year is the best bargain in sports, that rookie contract for a great starting quarterback. So you could see if you're in that position getting a little antsy. It's ridiculous. He's making, like, you know, a fifth as much as Menelik Watson did last year.
And by July or August, he'll be making $25 million a year.
Yeah. And if he's not, and if somehow this breaks down, they'll put the tag on him and he'll make $20 million next year, and if they still can't figure it out, they'll put the tag on him again, and it'll make $25 million the year after that. And then they'll eventually sign him, worst-case scenario, like 3 years from now. He ain't going nowhere.
No, we do not need this to go on for 3 years.
We don't. We do not. Moving on, Colin Kaepernick still without a job, and now there is some real potential smoke connecting him to another team. We didn't bring this up on Monday because it felt like malarkey, but in reality, there might be something here. Mike Silver reported that the Seahawks did reach out to Kaepernick about the possibility of him signing on to be a backup to Russell Wilson. And Michael Bennett, one of the most prominent Seahawks players, said on 710 ESPN that the quarterback would fit in Seattle.
I think Kaepernick get an opportunity to be on our team would be really cool, really a good space for him because, you know, you have a coach like Coach Carroll who's up for challenges like that. You have an owner who understands and gives back to homeless. You got players in your team that give back in the community. You got Russell Wilson who shows. Our team is built around community, so this is a perfect place for him.
Wes, what do you think about the idea of Kaepernick in Seattle? Does it work for you?
I think it's perfect. They have a very open-minded owner. They have a coach that's excellent at communicating with his players. They have players on the roster who have done far more offensive things than anything Colin Kaepernick has done. They also have Jeremy Lane, who also sat for the national anthem last year. And they have a very big need at backup quarterback, where there's Trevon Boykin, who's been arrested a couple of times and, frankly, wasn't very good behind Russell Wilson last year. So you bring in Colin Kaepernick, who can be one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league, and Daryl Bevel has shown that he can work with a quarterback who has a similar skill set, not the same skill set, but a similar one.
Tarvaris Jackson was the backup there, too, which is, you know, another athletic quarterback who they liked around. I mean, Trevon Boykin, it's a little weird that the Seahawks were so comfortable going with an undrafted rookie as their backup quarterback. It's wild to think, putting yourself in 2013 mode, that the two guys going back and forth in one of the more underrated NFC championship games, Russell Wilson and Kaepernick, would be teammates just a few years later. Like, that would have been very difficult,
like
to imagine.
Yeah, it's like a Connor or Madden creation at that point, because the intense rivals. But when your backup quarterback, who, as Wes pointed out, is not a true superstar and a developmental player that's been arrested multiple times this offseason, bye-bye.
He gone.
That would be the best backfield since my Madden Josh and Luke McCown tandem, the deception perception. That was
wow.
That's what they were
called?
That?
Yeah. What was that called?
It was called deception perception.
You don't remember that?
Yeah, so.
That was
the McCowns?
Yeah, we would switch them out and accentuate the various strengths. You didn't know who was on the field.
Was this a tribute to Matt Harmon?
I mean, I
might have borrowed some things.
I thought he borrowed it from you. Or are you saying that there's no litigation to sniff around here? This was something you came up completely separately.
I mean, I could pull the paperwork, and we could see where this originated.
We'll have to reach out to Matt, maybe, because
this is your second big story of the show.
You're picking up on it because I'm sniffing around.
Yeah, I can tell.
Do you want to work under me as an apprentice?
No, I do not. I mean, honestly, do not.
Wes really is the one that noticed.
Put your arm down at your
side.
That image
is burned into my mind for the rest of time.
Like, you were going to pat him on the head when he did something right. He's your Igor.
All right. Moving on. Let's just move on.
I'll work for a real news operation.
Wait a second. How dare you? We are the future of news. Here is some interesting news. So Tom Brady, you know, he's indestructible. He plans to play into his mid-40s and perhaps beyond. And one of the reasons is because his health seems so great. But what we hear or what we read on the injury report isn't always what's actually happening. And we get a peek behind the curtain via his wife, Gisele Bündchen. The supermodel who talked about Brady's issues with head injuries on CBS this morning, head injuries that we had never even heard about before this. Let's listen in.
As you know, it's not the most let's say an aggressive sport, right? Football, like, he had a concussion last year. I mean, he has concussions pretty much. I mean, we don't talk about, but he does have concussions, and I don't really think it's a healthy thing for your body to go through through that kind of aggression, like, all the time. That could not be healthy for you, right? And I'm planning on having him be healthy and do a lot of fun things when we're like 100, I hope.
Oh, boy, Greg. Let's cue the Throne of Sleaze, because the one thing that we have not factored in, Tommy might want to play until he's 50, but the wifey. This is a lot like Rocky V.
Yes, it is.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Adrian said, you're not going to fight now. Rocky was brain damaged. I'm not saying Tom is that type of issue. But she might force him out of the game so he can live till 100 and lead a healthy life both physically and mentally.
Wow. All I could think about was Tom Brady's reaction watching this.
Oh, my God.
Nonsense.
His head must have exploded.
On TV being like, damn, will you just zip it?
He got another concussion just watching this video.
Am I the only one that thinks this is like a total Brady Black Ops thing to backhandedly ding the NFL for their inability to identify concussions?
it's
a return serve. Well, proxy war.
I think the end result of this will be the normal Patriots lose a first-round draft pick. Brady. I mean, the paranoia going through front offices around the NFL right now. Who knows?
I mean, if you really broke down what she was saying, you could have maybe made the case she was being imprecise with her words. She's talking about previous concussions, maybe in previous years. It wasn't necessarily last year.
Don't talk down on the woman, Greg.
Isn't this,
I don't know.
isn't this the larger issue that there are different degrees of concussions, and we've been told for years that a concussion is a concussion,
right?
And yet some former players will say, "Oh no, I've had like 400 concussions mm-hmm. in my career."
The Patriots have hit head injuries, but I'm not going to go after the Patriots because other teams are doing it too. Tom Brady has never been on an injury report in 15 years for a concussion. And if you think about it, this is something we all kind of could have figured out even without her saying this. Of course, there's been at some point he suffered a moderate concussion, you would think. It had to have happened. It's just the nature of the game. But it is a reminder that, you know, I was joking around, but this idea that the longer he plays, you know, the head injury
anything
is
can
a
happen.
Real thing. Yeah. And it could take just one more where he decides that is it, because this might be a real issue behind the scenes for him.
Well, and one thing, I mean, I get that having her go on national TV and spout this was not ideal for the Brady clan, but she is a concerned wife. And in concussions, which we don't really see up close and personal, some of the people that describe what it's like over a month, 2 month period, you are going through literal hell in your household. And if she's seen even a fraction of that, the concern comes out, and it's much bigger than football when you've got – she is looking 2, 3, 4 decades down the road with this guy.
It's well said. And what Wes was saying about the grades of concussion, it kind of hammers home how almost impossible. Like, the NFL is in such a spot where, if you really look at it, at this point, they are doing – it feels like about as much as you can possibly do – to make sure you're getting players off the field, that you're trying to keep them healthy. And yet there's sort of a point past that where I don't know what more can you do. Like, people are just going to play through things and not say anything, and that's – I don't know how you solve that.
Yeah, unless you checked every player after every play, how are you gonna do it?
The league released a statement, by the way, which tells you that they're taking this seriously. We have reviewed all reports relating to Tom Brady from the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultants and certified athletic trainer spotters who worked at Patriots home and away 2016 season games, as well as club injury reports that were sent to the league office. There are no records that indicate that Mr. Brady suffered a head injury or concussion or exhibited or complained of concussion symptoms. Today, we have been in contact with the NFLPA and will work together to gather more information from the club's medical staff and Mr. Brady. The health and safety of our players is our foremost priority, and we want to ensure that all our players have and continue to receive the best care possible. Who do you believe?
Don't look at me. I'm not answering that question.
Moving on. The Cleveland Browns have added a body to their secondary. Jason McCourty told NFL Network's Courtney Fallon he is signing a 2-year, $6 million deal with the team. The deal includes $2 million guarantee, the defensive back said. The team confirmed the move on Wednesday. Mark, that's pretty good scratch at this point of the league year.
It is. I think the one thing, whenever people talk about the Browns secondary, which has been an absolute disaster, especially at safety, I mean an utter disaster, that there's still this, oh, you've got Joe Hayden. But Joe Hayden has not been Joe Hayden in 2.5 seasons. And so they need to just keep finding bodies. McCourty knows Greg Williams' system. They worked together in Tennessee. Brian Body Calhoun had a good year last year. He was a guy that they sort of came out of nowhere for them, but they really don't have much at the position. So why not add people? Why not add veterans?
Well, you like a Connor, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I got dinged a little bit for predicting that the Browns are going to make the playoffs.
That's what I was going to say. This is big news for your prediction.
This is, you know, every day we're kind of seeing a little bit. We're churning it forward. And, you know.
Then week one will begin, and we'll start to see it churn in a different direction, potentially.
And finally, I want to give a shout-out to Brian Gain. He's been hired as the VP of player personnel from the Bills. And Brian Gain was with Houston. He was with the Jets. Connor, I'm sure you know him from your dealings with the New York Football Club of the AFC. And I do want to just say, the reason I'm bringing this up is that Brian Gain is a Pearl River native. Grew up on Quake Lane in PR. Mm. He was my substitute teacher my senior year of high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And
is he one of your insiders?
No.
One of your sources?
He's a survivor. To me, that's what he is. And we're not close, Brian and I. Do we have that Springsteen music, Sydney, by any chance? We're not close, but we share a bond. You know, and that bond is getting out. escaping.
So you would have no problem if we had him on the podcast and just asked him some factual questions about Pearl River.
I like that idea. Why not? That'd be great.
Don't think that's a terrible idea, but it's also, I don't think, necessary.
Because this whole coal town thing has always smelled a little funny to me, especially when I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry for Pearl River. The nickname of the town is the Town of Friendly People.
Yes, that's not, what we are.
Well, coal business people could be not
all
friendly.
Right. Furthermore, in 2011, esteemed site CNNMoney.com ranked Pearl River 78th on its 100 best places to live list.
You know,
it was on the top 100 places to live. That does not really sound like an other side of the tracks kind of scenario.
I never said that, Mr. Martha's Vineyard. What I've always said is that we are a close-knit town, a town that we help each other. We don't have a lot, but we have each other. And I just want to say, Brian, I don't know where our Springsteen music is. Sydney, what's going on with our Springsteen music? It's very important that I have my Springsteen music for this. Thank you. I just want to say, Brian,
boss.
We made it, kid.
Well, I was touching.
This is more Neil Young to me.
You're very sour. I understand, Greg. Just let me have this moment about Brian.
Let you have Brian's moment.
Yeah. I grew up in Wilbraham, Mass, by the way.
Getting your strawberry chuck. Go getting your strawberry chuck.
The look on Connor's face.
Elevate your underwear game to the next level with MeUndies. What is MeUndies?
Ah!
Just seriously soft feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in LA and made from sustainably sourced
micromodal,
a fabric 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies softer than soft Lugji undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns, so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. And guess what?
What?
You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017, and get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You know why?
You deserve it.
Once again, that's MeUndies.com/NFL2017. MeUndies.com/NFL2017.
Let me tell you one thing. Our house right now is absolutely under duress. Workmen have torn it to shreds, but you still got to do laundry. And yesterday, walked into the home after work, and stacks of, you know, socks and underwear, and my two MeUndies underwear pairs were on the top of the underwear pile, and I thought, the weekend is here.
Was there...
Time to
are MeUndies MeUndies specifically for the weekend?
I mean, that's just what came into my mind. Not always. I've worn them on a Wednesday, and it turns a very mundane Wednesday into a special time.
I don't think there's a bigger compliment than saying you save your MeUndies for the big days of the week, which is Saturday, Sunday, and
that's
maybe a Friday
happening night,
a big spot.
Sure. I mean, they're very versatile in that way.
I continue to get people, by the way, that are saying, we love the idea of MeUndies. Get that individualized offer code, and we will bang, bang, bang.
The company is sitting on an absolute pile of money, and if our company would comply with our listeners' wishes, MeUndies would be absolutely soaring right now.
All right, let's move on. We have an opportunity now to take one off-season storyline and just wipe it. I mean, send it into the ether. Send it off to the cornfields.
Wish it into the cornfield. Please, son, wish it into the cornfield. Please.
Where's that even from?
Really? You don't know? Anybody else? Wes, I know you know.
I have no idea.
Wes.
That Field of Dreams?
It's a 1950s television show. I thought it would be right up your alley.
Dragnet?
I've never seen
Nobody.
I've never seen a 50s
Connor?
Television show.
No, Connor, not you, too.
The Munsters? I don't know.
Barney Rubble.
It's one of the most classic Twilight Zone episodes ever. The Good Life.
I've never seen a Twilight Zone episode.
Oh,
Neither. I don't watch
I can't
sci-fi.
Do the show anymore.
Neither have I.
That's something of a
I mean, maybe you got to look in the mirror if you're the only one that knows this.
It's a stunning reference
classic.
From you. I didn't know that you had a lot of 1950s television.
The reason I would think that I wouldn't be alone, if you are from the New York area, every year on New Year's Eve, WPIX would run a marathon. And this is back in the day when there wasn't a ton of options. So as a kid, I got into it. My dad loved it growing up, so I'd watch it with him. And I'm pretty well versed on a lot of the Rod Serling classics.
It's a good show.
I thought it left a bigger cultural imprint. I'm surprised.
Well,
I don't know
did.
If we're really your test.
Yeah,
case.
Yeah. You know, a lot of things pass the five of us by.
Well, Greg came out of the womb at 32 years old. I knew I wouldn't get him. But
give me a break. No one was watching the Twilight Zone growing up, little kids.
Anyway, so here we go. We're going to wipe one off-season storyline away forever. And, Connor, you are our guest this week. God, we're so happy that you're here. Why don't you get us going? Wipe one away.
I'm going to say anything that has to do with Adrian Peterson and how good he's going to be in the Saints offense. Like, you know, that's let's just wipe that away. I mean,
Wes is starting to twitch next to me.
Is this inspired by, like, literally like an hour ago on our air, there was a segment about that.
It's also the CP on our website right now. So
I think I organically take things in and kind of use them to my advantage. But I mean, I'm excited to see what a 32-year-old power back does on a team that routinely goes 8-8 and misses the playoffs. This is going to be let's light the candle. Oh, the fantasy implications! Whoa! Like, all right,
have the Saints finally figured it out?
Oh my God! So yeah, let's get rid of that. Who cares, you know?
Now, Wes, you are of the belief that Adrian Peterson could be an all-pro this season, but Connor's also probably hitting on a point that you agree with as well. Adrian Peterson might be a good signing and might still be a star, but the Saints are probably still going to be a middling team, right? So yeah. Why would we get too caught up about who's the running back on a mediocre team?
Yeah, I usually fall back on the idea that everybody puts way too much stock in the previous season and forgets every other piece of data available, which tells us that Adrian Peterson's probably a pretty good player. Mm.
This That's segment fair. Is already cathartic.
Right, and you can put a lot of stock into the last, you know, five seasons in New Orleans, and they haven't had a pass rush in any one of those five. There's no reason to believe that they have a pass rush this year, and thus, why would their season be too much different?
All right, Wes, you're up.
I'd like to wipe away, send to the cornfields, the issue that everybody wants to opine on and nobody can get right, the blackballing of Colin Kaepernick.
Hey, I knew it, Wes. Yeah. I knew it. I had it in my back pocket, and then when you showed up, I said, I hope Wes takes this one and runs with it. Oh. Take it, baby.
Yeah, because everybody wants to put their politics onto Colin Kaepernick and then look at him through that. Nobody can get it right. Nobody can get the nuance or the complexity right. Everybody's just going to keep telling you that he's blackballed as the Seahawks sign him.
Well, it was the perfect show to bring that up because it's all becoming untrue, all those ideas people had.
Well, they were untrue all along, but nobody really wanted to acknowledge it.
Like, there's shades of gray in the entire discussion, which I think, you know, you agree with. And it's tended to be an either-or argument on Twitter. Either everything about it is all because of the stance that he's taken, or it's the total opposite, which is that, you know, that he absolutely deserves, like, a job. And then somewhere in between.
Well, the blackball means by everyone, not
right.
By one or two or three teams. There's no question there are probably one or two or three certain amount of owners out there that said, don't need this, don't want it. But blackball means you don't work in the industry anymore because everyone's come to the same feeling about you and they've discussed it with each other. And that seems impossible among NFL teams.
If I never have to see again a tweet or an article that is trying to say that because Josh McCown got a job,
hell
Colin
yeah.
Kaepernick should have got a job too. They are totally separate cases, and one has nothing to do with the other. Nobody has any idea what Colin Kaepernick was asking for money-wise or role-wise, but everybody wants to just assume that every basic white backup quarterback should not be getting jobs before Colin Kaepernick.
I find it annoying also that Kaepernick, and he doesn't try to be necessarily super public about this, has done some incredible work for various communities, and it is completely ignored, or it's quickly ignored because of this thing from last season.
Yeah.
It's what the work that he's doing, which is all great, is being twisted into an evil upon the NFL owners and the league in general, where it's a more nuanced issue because it's at the end of the day, it's about can this guy play? Does he fit in with the team? And everybody's twisting. I've had enough of politics, by the way, right now.
Right.
Too much politics in my life.
Right.
And I don't need to creep it into the game.
I mean, there was the – I think they were unnamed sources to Peter King that was like, you know, some sort of team. And I can imagine some team or – team official saying this, that, well, they're worried that he wants to be, he's more concerned about being like a social justice warrior than playing football. It's like, shut the
That's terrible.
Front door up. It's like, you are happily welcoming in, you know, domestic assault abusers. You're welcoming in drug, you know, people with drug problems. Like, you're welcoming in tons of people who don't take their jobs seriously whatsoever.
Don't get precious on this.
But they're talented. So, and it's like, okay, that's what's going to keep you
in. I think Andrew Luck cares too much about his book club. So Cole should probably cut him, too.
I will I will go next. The Bears. This is going on the cornfields. The Bears lying to us about their belief in Mike Glennon and what he can do for them this year, and how what they did on draft day in no way reflects their belief in Mike Glennon and all the training camp about, Mike has a real chance to take this job and run with it. Don't want to hear it. Grow up, Peter Pan. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna buy into this. Don't tell me that. Mike Glennon knows the score. You think Mike Glennon knows the score in this? Mike Glennon knows the score, so don't try to tell us a different score if Mike Glennon knows the score.
Peter Pan being dragged through the mud here.
And I know. Can we cut that out and you can label it knows the score as the sound drop?
And Ryan Pace, he's all proud of himself because he's introduced adversity into his own building, and we know my feelings on that. You know, it comes from outside the building. And don't do it. You know, not you. You're not supposed to do it. So, you know, get off it. Don't now tell me that you believe in your $18.5 million quarterback. You banged him in the biggest spot possible. He's probably still sitting in Soldier Field wondering what happened. Nude.
Also nude.
At some point, he lost the clothes at some point.
Mm. I love that take.
Anyway.
I love it. I'm sniffing a little something. I mean, I'm not an ATN media insider or anything, but yeah. I'm connecting some dots here. Knowing that Dan's hero, Mike Francesa, is walking away reportedly from his job sooner. No one knows who's going to replace him. maybe Hansus is putting some little audition tapes out there live, because that was some
CBS, come at me.
Hot Francesa takes.
So the only way to truly get paid is a little bit of leverage. If CBS wants to come at me with a several million dollar offer, let's see what Roger has to say.
What would the name of the show be?
Mic'd up.
What?
I mean, give me time to think about it. For now, I would just inherit the mantle.
Okay. I like the idea of the NFL media paying any human being several million dollars.
Or the idea of Rod Goodell personally getting involved once Dan gets an offer.
Rog's like, whoa, let's slow this down. Give this man what he wants. He
what
hosts
is this
a podcast.
Around the NFL podcast you speak of?
He hosts a podcast. Pay him. All right.
The Zeus is loose on the Fan coming up next.
Greg, you're up. The Zeus is loose.
My storyline, and it could apply to many different teams, players, and we talked about one of them just earlier this show, will be any sort of contract holdout discussions. I don't need to hear it. It's one of those stories, and Derek Carr will be the version of it this year. There's usually two or three. It will be a near daily update on where the status of this contract negotiation is. Like, he's upset. It's going this way. It's going that way. Hey, newsflash, they all get signed in the end, and then everyone forgets about them. Like, and everyone forgets about it the next day and moves on with their life, because all we really care about is like how they play football, and we enjoy that and talking about the game. And yet this time of year, May, June, especially July, ends up being a huge focus on can they get them signed to that contract in time. They always show up. They always come. Like, that's the end of the story. And if they don't, they'll show up by week one and play then.
I think the worst part of it now, too, is
fair.
Teams have set the precedent last offseason where they're releasing, with the Chargers and Joey Bosa, they were releasing part of the contract details, the unsigned contract details. Like, he has this much on the table, and he's not signing. And I think it's going to become more and more tedious as more attention's paid.
This goes back to when I was at Roto-World. I really would hate that. People don't know. Connor was once people don't know. We go way back, too. He was once up in Stamford, Connecticut as a Roto-World intern about 8 years ago. How about that?
Did you take advantage of him as an intern?
I don't know. He did a great job.
You hesitated there just a
bit. Did you use your power and your position as a
I was going to say, I can't really remember exactly what Connor did. I remember his presence, but
there are moments of time he doesn't remember either. Yeah, very concerning.
I want to know what you did to Connor.
That was the summer I turned 21. I don't remember anything.
All I remember is writing about Javon Walker's holdout. Denver at the time. Two times a day for about 3 months, and then one day he signs it, and I just felt like, what did I just waste 3 months on?
The Matt Forte holdout that went over, or not? It was just a contract talks with Matt Forte over two summers. Highly tedious.
They really left a mark on Greg over there. He's scarred by Javon Walker.
I guess it was Javon Walker with the Packers, right?
It's like Greg's like, Connor, step into my office.
Greg didn't have an office.
No, I definitely did not have an office.
No, he had a cubby like two yards away from me.
That's what he did.
Did you guys go out to lunch and talk about life?
We might have had a sandwich at Esposito's.
Yeah,
twice.
Yeah, yeah. We get along.
Okay, before we
go, left an impression.
Before we throw it to Mark, let's pause one moment for a new segment.
Really?
And now another edition of Keeping Up with Bowen.
On today's edition of Keeping Up with Mo Boehringer, a German reporter or a Vikings reporter working as a conduit for Deutschland NFL on Twitter asked what he can do this season to make a bigger impact in year two.
Yeah, just improve overall as a receiver and special teams and just go on the field and show something.
Yeah. And that was another edition of Keeping Up with Boehringer.
That's the pronunciation you want to go with. Deutschland?
Deutschland?
Yes. There you go. A lot of listeners over there.
Not anymore.
So there we go.
Great job by Alex Fergola, our talented voiceover artist.
That was.
A silky voice.
I told Frags, and this is a testament to her, I told her to turn up the sultry to 8.5 and not one notch above and not one notch below. And that's right where she was.
Yeah. It's good to have some Mobo back.
I've told her many times, would you get out of this newsroom and go do voiceover work and make roughly 20 times more?
What was her response?
I don't know. Remember the response was more. But the conversation fell apart.
So across the summer, we'll keep tabs on Mobo. As he continues his journey from Germany, Deutschland,
there you go,
all the way to the Minnesota Vikings starting lineup.
Was this foisted upon you, this idea, from shadowy league figures or something, kind of extend out this storyline into year two?
No, I was more...
Feels plausible.
I knew it was something that people are hot about in different corners. Whether it be in this building or across the pond. And now we have an entire segment dedicated to the man.
Sebastian Vollmer retired, something that didn't make our news, but happy trails to him. So it makes sense that a German star needs to be replaced.
There can only be one at any time.
There can only be one. All right, Mark, take us home. Send something to the cornfield.
I had to write this down because this has been on my sonar all – really since the Super Bowl.
Is that more highlighter than your paper?
Yeah.
Why is there highlighter? I'm just curious.
It helps me to read it.
Gotcha.
All right. I stood my ground in February. I said I would not report on this topic, but the man put a gun to my head and made me do it. Now I've had enough. What storyline would I like to wipe into the ether? Every news item related to the National Football Conference. Are you feeling me? I need the NFC to take a near-fatal dirt nap until September. We get it. You're the NFC. You have 16 teams. Point made. You've effing hammered it home, NFC. oh, look at us. Our conference was formed during the 1970 merger, and in 2002 we realigned into four divisions with four teams. We housed the dangerously boring Lions and Rams.
Dangerously
give me a
boring.
Break on the nicknames. How many Rams have you seen walking around Los Angeles? One? At most one. Probably none more like it. Take a nap, NFC. Take a long nap. I'm out.
All right.
Did you highlight "You Feel Me" on there?
Yeah, what was highlighted, if you don't mind?
What was that, "You Feel Me, Boys"? Or
near fatal dirt nap. Effing.
Wipe into the ether.
How many Rams have you seen walking around Los Angeles? Seriously, with
that's
that.
That's a good point.
The one on campus a couple of
years ago. Yeah, they brought one here.
I said one, at most one, and that was not organic. That was that animal probably, what did he go through to be brought
here? And the chance of that Rams even alive at this point after the abuse it took that day.
I mean, it's wide-ranging, like the NFC and its issues.
Chained in the sunlight for 7 hours so all the idiots in our building can pet it.
It's been a hard episode.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I include myself as one of the idiots, but, you know, a lot of idiotic petting going on. All right. You're no idiot, Connor. You went to Syracuse. And now it's time for yet another edition of the groundbreaking internet segment. Are you kidding me? And you know what the rules are. You know what this is. This is Connor's opportunity. This is Connor's big spot as a man that sometimes it can build up within Connor. There's some anxiety that Connor deals with. We saw it before he did his live hit on NFL Network yesterday. He nearly didn't make it on television.
It's not an exaggeration.
And the best way to keep Connor from essentially melting down is to get it off his chest. So we provide that for him with Are You Kidding Me here on the Around the NFL podcast. So, Connor, let it rip.
I think that we should completely do away with, speaking of in the theme, these stupid, faux literary, whimsical Twitter bios that everybody seems to have nowadays. Take them all and burn them to the ground.
Wow.
Hello.
Stop being creative. Don't stand out. Just fit in. Wow, Kagongo on
lick.
Notice.
What a lick.
Tell us why this has got on. Is this a new thing or is this just always been on your radar?
I think it's a new thing, but how annoying is it when like a new follow pops up and you check to see who it is and it's just you try to learn like what they are, who they are, and then their bio is like raconteur, novice crime writer. Once in a while you get shown the light in the strangest of places if you look at it right. You know, it's just like shut up and tell me what. Tell me where you work, where you live, and, like, you know, I don't care about anything else.
You're just an ordinary person. You're not special. Live with it.
Rack on tour.
It's like a little CrossFit mom, beer snob. You know, like, come on. You know, like, who?
Nobody cares if you're a beer snob.
Nobody cares at all. I want to know where you work so you might be able to help me at some point down the line.
You pulled these from real accounts, I'm assuming.
No. But, okay. You know, I didn't want to put anybody on notice.
Okay.
But it would be very easy to do that just by clicking on any Twitter profile. I think, you know what, sometimes I take issues with some of your rants. This one, it feels right. Feels right.
It's like these AOL profiles from like 1998. It's like you want to throw like a ludicrous quote in there too while you're at it, and put them in different fonts and colors for everyone to see. It's just
be right back. Gonna change my Twitter profile.
Stop appropriating other people's culture.
My thing that I don't like is how they often end with "in my most important job, dad to two beautiful girls."
Oh, that was on your radar. That's been on your radar for a while, Greg.
You know what? And this is no disrespect if you're a listener to the show and that's your bio, because I would say like 48% of sports writers have that in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't put that in there, but I don't feel like that makes me any less of a dad, but it makes me feel like I'm not quite bringing the hammer down as a dad. Because
it's like I said to Greg, it's a little braggy. We get it.
Right.
Like, the assumption is if you're a dad, hopefully, if you're a sports writer, you're probably not seeing his kids as much as you should, but that's every job. You love your kids. We get it.
How about this? Keep the family on Facebook. Nobody's following you on Twitter for updates on your daughters.
Sit down. Be humble. What else you got, Connor?
People getting flamed.
I mean, I think that there should be sort of a uniform LinkedIn approach to this. You know, like, let's keep this a medium for adults instead of some sort of a Twitter egg war politics junkyard. You know, let's up the discourse. Put your name on it. Tell me where you work. Put your maybe your cell phone number if you want me to call you and scream at you. But, you know, not, you know, espresso mom, you know. What does that tell me about you? That's like, you know, citizen of the world, you know.
I would happily listen to you just read these examples for like five straight minutes.
This
please.
Is an off season.
Please,
podcast.
If you have any more, don't leave any in your holster.
You got any other than the tank?
That's life moves fast if you don't look around and blah, 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 you know, like, you know, shut up. God.
Anything else you want to add, Connor?
Or are you kidding me?
One of the great "Or are you kidding me?"
Wow.
Ever right
wow.
there.
Wow. Yeah. It was inspired.
Wow, Connor. I mean, you want to talk about going out on a high note.
Yeah, I should just fly out tonight, to be honest.
Connor Orr can be found. And let's just check if you're a man of your word.
Well, let's look at his Twitter profile.
Better. If there's,
if there's it's a, probably like, exactly what I said.
I'm telling you, if there's like a Dave Matthews quote, a man that loves his beer, his wife, and his family. Connor Orr, a graduate of Daly Orange University, is a reporter. Did you just change this?
No, I swear. Yeah. It's
for NFL.com. So you're a man. Yeah, you're a man of your word.
You're a man of integrity.
Interesting that you went with a third person on that.
Ooh.
Mm. Like I said, this is me removing myself.
Uh-oh.
I don't have to explain myself to anybody.
You went with the old Facebook style status.
I will never get on anybody for going third person, so don't worry about it. But you did go third person. It's interesting.
I feel like that's not a departure from the norm here. I don't think that's radical.
Some might disagree, but that's your take.
Well, while we're here.
I mean, if you look at your Twitter page, it does say the name Connor Orr three times in a row.
Oh,
like,
man.
One on top of another.
We call that branding.
Well, I feel like mine is
good. Four times.
Mine's probably on his radar.
Yeah, let's go around the horn. We'll start with Mark.
Oh, geez.
Writer for NFL.com and member of the Around the NFL podcast. Some type of floral or female body part image emoji. And then Instagram, Mark Sessler. And then beach body coach and a butterfly.
I don't feel like that's on my radar because those are the two. This fits my need. Tell me what you do. What do you do?
I'm doomed here.
Chris Wessling up next.
Not a female body part, by the way. Just cycling back a second.
What is it?
It is a flower, but not a female body part.
It's flesh colored and
yes, it is. But I just wanted to clarify for those who wouldn't bother to check.
Chris Wessling, writer for Around the NFL, naysayer on award-winning ATNFL podcast, habitual line stepper, shambolic earthling, restless soul, wayfaring stranger,
Oh, I should have looked at this. No,
oh, I'm deep in Connor's doghouse.
I'm so sorry, Wes.
That's all right.
I didn't read yours before.
That's okay. Well, I need people to know what they're getting into.
Hey, we know Wes.
When you get blocked, it's because I'm a shambolic earthling.
We know Wes, and he follows up on these things.
I have NFL.com's end-around guy, host of the Around the NFL podcast, solid 7.5 out of 10 on the human decency scale.
That's creeping on.
Yeah,
that's creeping
right
on
the edge.
Guy. Yeah. It got bummed up recently.
Well, that
it was 7.2 for a
that
while.
That number has really gone up higher.
Was it because you directed us to the league championship?
It hovers between 7.2 and 7.6. I never make an announcement. I just adjusted it based on my feeling about myself at that time.
Feel like you had a good year.
And I did maybe something, but that could be going down very soon.
You had another child, so that
should be group sourced.
That doesn't make me a better person to have a child. I mean, Antonio Cromartie would be the Pope if that's how things work. Finally, Greg Rosenthal. I don't even need to click on this because it's so iconic. Football.
Oh, Connor loves you.
Also on my radar. A little
bit. Oh, on the radar.
Come on. I mean, yeah, that's a little, like, it's minimalist to the point of hipster. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
That was my Twitter profile the day I joined Twitter back in the day. It was descriptive of what you can expect from this account.
I know what Connor's saying, though.
Minimalist to the point of hipsterdom is, that
pretty much sums it up perfectly.
Greg got in before the hipster revolution.
Right, yeah, you're attaching your own feelings now. Travel back in time to 2009.
I'm just telling you what's happening. It's happening on that account. You're not going to get any of my personal life or any other nonsense.
No tennis tweets.
Yeah, that's a different account, a shadow account that you have.
Yeah, Courts of Thunder.
We once found out, we looked over Greg's shoulder and saw his shadow tennis account, and we went back to the desk, and me, Wes, and Mark all pulled up the account and simultaneous counted down 3, 2, 1 and followed him at the same time and never spoke of it. And did you ever notice that? Did that ever get up on your radar?
Not for as far as I can tell, months and months afterwards. But yes. And then when I did find that out, I immediately deleted the account.
All right. Fun times, fun show. That's it for the Wednesday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We will have another podcast, almost impossibly. We'll be doing another one tomorrow. So we got one more this week, but this is our last show with Connor. Connie Fox will be stepping in for tomorrow's show. But Connor, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
For bringing light, shining a light upon us.
Somebody's got to do it.
Absolutely. All right. Wes, great having you. Keep coming back.
Yeah, I'm sort of up in the air for tomorrow, but we'll see.
If you're here, we'll love it. If you're not, you will be missed. Until then. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman. Or are you kidding me? The old boss and new money behind the glass. Till Thursday.